请大家和我一起翻开马可福音第一章。
Please turn with me to Mark chapter 1.
我们一起要从马可福音第一章的十四节看到第二十节。
Let us read from verses 14 to 20.
马可福音第一章十四节。
Mark chapter 1 verse 14.
约翰下监以后，耶稣来到加利利，宣传神的福音。
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God.
说日期满了，神的国近了，你们当悔改，信福音。
The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
耶稣顺着加利利的海边走，看见西门和西门的弟兄安德烈在海里撒网，他们本是打鱼的。
Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen.
耶稣对他们说，来，跟从我，我要叫你们得人如得鱼一样。
And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.
他们就立刻舍了网，跟从了他。
And immediately, they left their nets and followed him.
耶稣稍往前走，又见西比泰的儿子雅各和雅各的弟兄约翰在船上捕网。
And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets.
耶稣随即招呼他们，他们就把父亲西比泰和雇工留在船上，跟从耶稣去了。
And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him.
上主日透过马可福音第一章十四到十五节，我们一起查考了关于耶稣基督开始他在地上传道事工的信息。
Last Sunday, we studied about Jesus beginning his earthly ministry in chapter 1 verses 14 to 15.
尽管耶稣在受洗之后，在随即到旷野得胜的试探，然后他就到了犹大省，开始了一系列的传道事工。
Although Jesus began a series of preaching work in Judea after his baptism and temptations in the wilderness,
我们说过这段时间大概超过了，至少超过了六个月，将近一年之久。
And as mentioned before, this period of time was between 6 months to a year.
但是按照马可的记载，耶稣基督在地上的传道事工，是在他的开路先锋，施洗约翰下监了以后，回到了加利利，才正式开始的。
But according to Mark, Jesus Christ's earthly ministry began only after his forerunner John the Baptist was imprisoned and him returning to Galilee.
耶稣所传扬的信息就是日期满了，神的国近了，你们当悔改，信福音。
Jesus preached that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
这句话如果用比较现代的口语，比如说，像最近有一个比较简单口语化的版本，叫做 The Living Bible， 是这样说的。他说：“神的国度已经临近，你们要离开罪，向神荣耀的福音做出正确的回应。”
If we were to look at this verse from a simpler modern day translation like the Living Bible, it would mean like this.God's kingdom is near. Turn from your sins and act on the glorious news.
或者说，假如我们可以讲啊，从整本圣经加以总结的话，神透过历史所赐给世人的信息，就是两个字：悔改与信靠。
If we were to summarize the entire biblical message.Then God's message throughout all ages will be in two words. Repent and believe.
使徒行传二十章二十一节， 保罗在与以弗所的长老们告别的时候说，他所传扬的福音的这个工作，他说就是对犹太人和希腊人证明当向神悔改，信靠我主耶稣基督。
In Acts chapter 20 verse 21, in while bidding farewell to the elders of the Ephesian church, Paul said to them that his preaching was to testify both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ.
保罗提到他所传讲的福音与耶稣基督所传讲的信息是完全一致的，就是两件事情，第一就是悔改，第二就是信靠主。
The messages that both Paul and Jesus Christ preached were the same, which is to
使徒保罗说他所传讲的信息与主耶稣的信息是一致的。
Paul said that the message that he has preached is the same message that Jesus Christ has preached, which is to repent and believe in the Lord.
悔改与信靠主是一个罪人生命得救同一件事情的两个方面。
Repentance and faith, which is trusting in the Lord, is two aspects of a sinner being saved.
是一件事情的两个方面。
It's two aspects of one thing.
二者缺一不可。
One cannot do without the other.
曾经有一位啊，二十世纪威尔士的布道家鲍威尔，他曾经说过，他说没有悔改的信，就不是圣经所说的信。
A 20th century Welsh evangelist, I. Powell, he had once said, he said here, faith without repentance is hardly faith.
而另一个方面，没有信靠主的悔改，仅仅是人对某些事情忧伤的表示。
But on the other hand, repentance without faith is the harbinger of sorrow.
悔改表示罪人的顽疾已经蔓延到人的内心。
Repentance indicates disease is rampant in the heart.
而信靠主，这是打开那通向接受伟大医生之手的之门的 那双手。
Faith is the hand that opens the door to admit the great physician.
纵观今天许多的教会传扬福音的时候，仅仅强调对耶稣的信，而尽量的避开悔改的问题。
We see that when many churches evangelize todayThey will only emphasize on faith in Christ, but will avoid the issue of repentance.
他们担心什么呢？担心一旦触及到罪这个敏感话题的时候，将会引起人们的反感。
It is due to the fear that the very mention of sin will bring about antipathy in people.
而导致没有人愿意听我们所传讲的信息。
Which may result in having nobody willing to listen to our message.
也是因为这个缘故，许多人会有意无意的避开地狱的话题，单单只讲到天堂。
And it was also for this reason that many people will only talk about heaven, but and avoid mentioning about hell.
更多的谈及神的怜悯，而避开神的愤怒。
And talk more about God's mercy while avoiding talking about God's wrath.
然后今天我们每个人都要清楚地知道，耶稣说，我就是道路、真理、生命，若不借着我，没有人能到父那里去。
But today we all need to know this, that Jesus had said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
除非人对自己的罪在上帝面前悔改，并且信靠神所预备的耶稣基督救赎的恩典。
Unless people repent of their sin before God and receive salvation through Jesus Christ's saving faith, saving grace,
否则罪人想要进入神的国度，简直是异想天开。
Or else, it will be impossible to enter God's kingdom.
接下来从马可福音的角度，我们看到了耶稣呼召两组门徒的记载。这两组门徒是两对兄弟，西门与安德烈，雅各与约翰。
Following on next, according to Mark, we see Jesus calling two groups of disciples, which are two groups of brothers. They are Simon and Andrew, James and John.
第十六节，耶稣顺着加利利的海边走。
Verse 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee.
这里说到耶稣顺着加利利海边走，那加利利在海在哪里呢？
It says here that Jesus passed alongside the Sea of Galilee. Where is this sea?
这是圣地的整个的地图。
This is the map of the Promised Land.
我们看到在这块地，在耶稣的时代有三个省份。最南边是犹大，中间是撒玛利亚，最北边是加利利。
We can see that in the era of Jesus Christ, this promised land was divided into three different provinces. To the south is Judea, in the middle is Samaria, and to the north is Galilee.
下面的这个地方就是死海，不过靠近的耶路撒冷、伯大尼这些地方。
And in the province of Judea is the Dead Sea, and next to it are Jerusalem and Bethany.
加利利在北边，那么这个加利利海呢，就是在这个位置。
While Galilee is up in the north, and the Sea of Galilee is next to the province.
我们上礼拜讲到过，耶稣实际上离开了犹大地，透过撒玛利亚，在叙加这个地方，他跟撒玛利亚妇人谈到，在井边谈到。
As mentioned last week, while traveling up north, back to Galilee from Judea, Jesus stopped halfway in Samaria and spoke to the Samaritan woman by the well.
然后呢，他接着往北走，经过了他自己的家乡拿撒勒，又来到了迦拿，就是他曾经变水为酒的那个地方。
And whilst continuing up north,He passed by his own hometown, which is Nazareth, into Cana, which is the place where he performed his first miracle in turning water into wine.
然后呢，他又往右边走，来到了，就是走到靠近加百农的这个加利利海的边上。
And turning right from Cana, he came to Capernaum,Which is next to the Sea of Galilee.
也就是在加利利海边，耶稣看见并呼召了西门和西门的兄弟安德烈。
And it was at this Sea of Galilee that Lord Jesus saw and called Simon and his brother Andrew.
尽管从马可的简要记载上来看，似乎耶稣遇到这对弟兄、这兄弟俩，好像有点偶然。
Although Mark's simple narrative makes it seem that Jesus meeting these two brothers was seemingly out of coincidence.
但是这中间，因为过了差不多一年的时间，所以我们要回到一年之前所发生的事情。
But there was really a span of a year prior to this event. Therefore, we need to go back a year ago.
在耶稣接受洗礼之后，随即被圣灵催逼到旷野接受撒旦的试探。
After his baptism, Jesus was being driven into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan.
根据约翰福音第一章35-42节，但你提到了犹太人差遣使者到施洗的约翰那里，质问他说：“你到底是不是基督？”
According to John chapter 1 verses 35-42, the Jews sent people to John the Baptist and asked him if he was the Christ.
约翰立刻声明他不是基督。
Straight away, John confessed that he was not the Christ.
他说但是有一位在他们中间的，可是他们不认识， 那人他就是基督。
But there was one, even then among them, who was indeed the Christ, though they knew him not.
接着，次日第二天，约翰看见耶稣来到他那里，说：“看啊，神的羔羊，除去世人罪孽的。”
Following on the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world."
又次日，那就是第三天，约翰带着两个门徒看见耶稣行走，约翰又一次做见证，说：“看啊，这是神的羔羊。”
And the next day again, John, who with his two of his disciples, once again saw Jesus walking by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God."
这时，两个门徒听见他的话，听见约翰的话，就跟从了耶稣。
By now, these two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus.
这两个人跟耶稣住了一夜，他们就相信了，接受了耶稣就是Messiah.
They stayed with Jesus for the night and believed and acknowledged that Jesus is the Messiah.
约翰福音第一章第四十节告诉我们说，听见约翰的话跟从耶稣的那两个人，一个是西门彼得的弟兄安德烈。
John chapter 1 verse 40 tells us that one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
这个安德烈他先找到自己的哥哥西门，对他说，我们遇见弥赛亚了，弥赛亚就是基督。
Andrew first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah, which means Christ."
两个人一起来见耶稣，耶稣随即就给西门改名字，说你要叫做基法，基法翻出来就是彼得。
And these two brothers came to Jesus, and Jesus changed Simon's name to Cephas, which means Peter.
换句话说，实际上耶稣在大约一年之前已经认识了这兄弟俩。
In other words, these two brothers were already known to Jesus a year ago.
现在耶稣来到了加利利海边。
Now Jesus has come to the Sea of Galilee.
这个加利利海实际上是一个相当大的内陆湖，内陆淡水湖。它的长大约有22公里，它的宽大概有10公里宽。
The Sea of Galilee was really a huge freshwater lake, spanning about 22 kilometers long and about 10 kilometers wide.
它有一个特点，就是这个湖啊，处于海平面以下200米，非常的低。
What's unique about this lake is that it is located 200 meters below sea level, which is really low.
而且这个地方这个湖啊。有许多不同的名称
and it has different names.
比如说在旧约这个湖被称为什么呢？叫做基尼列湖。
For example, in the Old Testament, it was known as the Sea of Kinnereth.
或者呢，也被称为基尼列海。
It's known as the Sea of Kinnereth.
Yeah.而在三卷对观福音当中，这个湖呢又被称为格尼撒勒湖。
And it was also known as the Lake of Gennesaret.
Yeah, 在三卷的对观福音书里面都被称为这个名称。
And it was known, also known as the Lake of Gennesaret in the three synoptic gospels.
Yeah. 而这个湖由于靠近的提比里亚城，因此在约翰福音里面又被称为提比里亚海。
And due to it being close to the city of Tiberias, it was also known as the Sea of Tiberias in the Gospel of John.
所以你看这个湖呢有许多不同的名称。
Therefore we see that this lake has different names.
曾经子涵弟兄来问我，他说有这么多个不同的名称，是不是不同的地方？没有，我说这些所有的名称指的都是同一个地方。
Our brother Zachary had once asked this. different names for this. That doesn't mean different parts of the lake. No, it is different names, but of the same thing.
Same lake.
Well, of the same lake.
也就是在加利利海边，耶稣看见西门和西门的兄弟安德烈在海里面撒网。这里还特别交代他们本是打鱼的。
Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea. And it's said here specifically, for they were fishermen.
加利利海，以他的淡水渔产而著称。
The Sea of Galilee was well known for its fresh supply of freshwater fish.
在它的水域范围之内，拥有16个渔港之多。
And there were as many as 16 fishing docks within its perimeter.
根据犹太史学家约瑟夫的记载，在最多的时候，这个湖里面大约有330艘的渔船在那里从事打鱼的工作。
And according to the Jewish historian Josephus, there were as many as 330 fishing boats working there.
对于中东人来说，鱼肉是他们肉类蛋白质的主要来源，因此呢，打鱼这个行业就显得非常的重要。
For Middle Eastern people, fish was the main source of protein. Therefore, the fishing industry was of utmost importance.
并且从路加福音十五章第十节的记载来看，暗示着彼得与安德烈的打鱼事业和西比泰和他两个儿子雅各、约翰一起合作，生意非常的成功。
And we can see in Luke chapter 5 verse 10 that it seemed that Peter and Andrew were working with Zebedee and his two sons who were James and John. They were working as business partners and business was thriving.
尽管从耶路撒冷的祭司长和文士的眼光来看，这些人都是那些没有学问的小民。
Although to the Jewish high priest and the scribes, these men were uneducated common men.
然而你要注意到啊，安德烈和西门并不是一般贫穷的雇工，而是在这个打鱼行业里面非常成功的成功人士。
But Andrew and Simon Peter were not just ordinary poor hired men, but they were successful businessmen in their fishing industry.
因为根据路加福音第四章第三十八节，彼得在加百农的城里面拥有房子。
Because according to Luke chapter 4 verse 38, Peter owns his own home in the city of Capernaum.
而西比泰在耶路撒冷应该与犹太上层社会有相当的联系，因为我们从约翰福音十八章十五节看到约翰与当时的大祭司还非常的熟悉。
And Zebedee was probably well associated with the Jewish social elite in Jerusalem. And in, because in according to John chapter 18 verse 15, we see that John was well known to the high priest.
马可在他的福音书里面完全没有记载门徒一年前遇到耶稣的情况。
Mark did not give details about these disciples knowing Jesus a year prior.
而是从耶稣大约一年之后在加利利海边呼召这些门徒所开始记载的。
But he began with Jesus calling them at the Sea of Galilee a year later.
因为或许上一次他们还没有得到耶稣特别的呼召，放下一切去跟从他。
Perhaps the last time they met him, they had not been called to leave all to follow him.
因为那个时候施洗约翰还没有被下到监牢里面。
Because John the Baptist was yet to be imprisoned.
很有可能在施洗约翰下到监里面之后，这些人又回去当渔民了。
And it was possible that they went back to be fishermen after John the Baptist was imprisoned.
因为 马可特别交代，因为他们本是打鱼的。
Because Mark said they were fishermen.
现在耶稣在加利利海边又一次遇到了他们。
And now Jesus met with them once again at the Sea of Galilee.
耶稣对他们说，十七节，耶稣对他们说，来跟从我，我要叫你们得人如得鱼一样。
Verse 17, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.
这里有一个很有意思的事情，要知道，跟，来跟从我，按照希腊文原文 ,doutia 这个词的意思完全是命令式的口气，而不是商量式的邀请。
There's an interesting thing that we need to know here, that the term follow me, which is doutia in the original Greek, it is an imperative form, not just a simple casual invite.
这也是一种从神而来的命令，而不是一种陈情，一种要求。
It is also a divine command, not a request.
你知道吗？犹太的拉比，他们也经常呼召人来跟从他们。
Do you know that Jewish rabbis also often call people to follow them?
不过，他这些犹太拉比所呼召他们的门徒所跟从的是他们的传统，他们律法主义的教导。
But what these rabbis are calling their disciples to follow are their traditions and their legalistic teachings.
现在耶稣呼召这些加利利的渔夫来跟从他。
And now, Jesus had called these Galilean fishermen to follow him.
然而耶稣的呼召是带有绝对的、全然的权柄。
And Jesus did it with absolute and ultimate authority.
就如马可第一章二十二节所说，耶稣说话、教训人，正像有权柄的人，不像文士和法利赛人。
Just as we see in Mark chapter 1 verse 22, Jesus taught them as one who had power and authority, like no scribes or Pharisees.
耶稣对门徒的呼召是非常的极端的，也是明确无误的。
Jesus' call for disciples was extreme and definitely inerrant.
就是意味着说，你要准备好，预备好，放弃世上的一切，包括你的职业、你的家庭、你所拥有的一切的财产。
It means that you need to be well prepared to give up everything in the world, including your career, your family, and all of your possessions.
耶稣说，来跟从我。
Jesus said, follow me.
路加福音十四章二十六节，耶稣说，人到我这里来，若不胜过爱自己的父母、妻子、儿女、弟兄、姐妹和自己的性命，就不能做我的门徒。
Jesus said in Luke chapter 14 verse 26, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
所以耶稣呼召门徒是非常的极端的，从人的角度上非常的极端的。
So humanly speaking, Jesus' call for disciples was rather extreme.
跟从主，这是一个王，国王对他所拣选子民特别的呼召，是一个独特的、没有商量余地的，包括所有方面的要求命令。
And follow me. It was a unique, non-negotiable, all-encompassing mandate from the king to his chosen people.
许多人一方面似乎愿意跟从耶稣，但是另外一方面又想保留对自己生命的主权。
There are many who on one hand seem willing to follow Jesus, and yet on the other hand wishes to fall to rule over their own lives.
那些人有一方面想要，有点想要跟从耶稣的救恩，但是另外一方面还是放不下自己对世界的留恋。
On one hand, they seem to want salvation from Jesus, but on the other hand, they were unwilling to give up their love for the world.
就如在马可福音第十章记载着，曾经有一个少年的官来找耶稣，想要从耶稣这里寻求永生。
Just as in Mark chapter 10, where there was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus to seek eternal life.
尽管这个人从小就遵守了许多 律法的规条，他有道德，有地位，有宗教，又有许多的好行为。
Although he had kept many commandments since young, and he seemed morally sound, he was of a high social status, and he was religious, and he had good works.
但是当他听到耶稣说，你还缺少一件，去变卖你所有的，分给穷人，就必有财宝在天上，你还要来跟从我的时候。
But when he heard Jesus telling him that, you lack one thing, go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.
他听见这话，脸上就变了色，忧忧愁愁地走了，因为他的产业很多。
Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
为什么呢？
Why? So,
因为他所放不下的就是他在世上的产业，而这就是他在这个世界当中所看重的。
Because he could not give up the worldly possessions that he had, which are also what the world values.
亲爱的弟兄姐妹，或许在你内心的深处，你还在挣扎，还在希望，或许耶稣不会要求我这样来信靠他。
Dear brothers and sisters, perhaps in your hearts, you're still struggling and hoping that maybe, just maybe, Jesus would not request me to trust in him like this.
但我可以非常坦率地告诉你，放下一切，跟从主，这是耶稣明确的要求。
But let me be honest with you. Lay down everything and follow the Lord.This is Jesus' explicit request.
也是圣经明确的命令。
And it is also the explicit command in the Bible.
我不想欺骗你。说句实话，假如你放不下，舍不得放下这世上的一切，那么耶稣的救恩跟你没有什么关系。
I have no wish to lie to you. But if you are reluctant or unwilling to lay aside everything in this world,Then Jesus' salvation has got nothing to do with you.
现在耶稣清楚地告诉彼得和安德烈，呼召他们，表明呼召他们根本的目的就是要叫他们得人如得鱼一样。
And now Jesus told Peter and Andrew that the ultimate purpose in calling them was to make them become fishers of men.
有趣的是在希腊文的原文里面，这里只有一个字 ，helios 是打鱼的。Okay.
The interesting thing in this verse is that the original Greek has only one word, which is fishes.
Yeah. 这个字叫 helios. Helios 实际上在希腊文的字义里面是打鱼的，没有人啊，渔民没有这个人的构成部分。
And this word, fishes, in original Greek, helios, it only consists of fishes and lack of men.
问题在于，这里不是明确的说他们本是打鱼的吗？
But the problem now is that it says here that they were fishermen.
那么耶稣还说叫他们成为渔夫、渔人呢？
Then why then did Jesus say that he will make them become fishers of men.
没有 fishers of men. Fishers. 就是故意要 明白他根本没有这个 man 这个字。Man 是加上去的。
Since the original Greek does not have of men, then why did Jesus say that he will make them become fishers?
That's great. 关键的对比在于耶稣不要他们成为打鱼的渔夫，而要成为得人的渔夫。
The striking contrast to this is which Jesus calls this man. The contrast is between them catching fish and catching people.
为了帮助大家理解这里面的含义，我们需要回到 旧约圣经去查考一下。
To help us understand this, we need to go back to the Old Testament.
在旧约圣经也出现过渔夫的身份。
The identity of fishers did appear in the Old Testament.
但是你知道吗？在旧约时代，每每都是渔人呐、或者渔夫，都是以审判的角度出现。
But whenever the term fishers appear in the Old Testament, it always comes from the viewpoint of judgment.
比如说，来，我们来看一个地方，我们来看耶利米书十六章十六节。
For example, let us turn to Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16.
耶利米书十六章十六节。
Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16.
耶和华说，我要造许多什么打鱼的。我要造许多打鱼的，把以色列人打上来，然后我要造许多猎打猎的，从各山上、各岗上、各石穴中猎取他们。
It says here, "Behold, I'm sending for many fishers," declares the Lord, "and they shall catch them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the cliffs of the rocks."
十八节，请你注意看十八节。耶和华神接着说：“我先要加倍报应他们的罪孽和罪恶，因为他们用可憎之事玷污我的地图，又用可厌之物充满我的产业。
Take note of verse 18. It says, "But first I will doubly repay their iniquity and their sin, because they have polluted my land with the carcasses of their detestable idols, and have filled my inheritance with their abominations."
你看到没有？神旧约的时候，神召集渔夫，把以色列人打上来，就是为了行神的审判工作。
Can you see now that in the Old Testament, God gathered fishers to catch the Israelites, all for the purpose of judgment?
好，我们再来看一下以西结书二十九章。
And let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 29.
以西结书二十九章第四到第五节。
Ezekiel chapter 29 verses 4-5.
以西结书二十九章第四节说：“我耶和华必用钩子钩住你们的腮颊，又使江河中的鱼贴住你们的鳞甲。我必将你和所有贴住你鳞甲的鱼从江河里拉上来，把你并江河中的鱼都抛在旷野，你必倒在田间，不被收敛，不被掩埋。我已将你给地上的野兽、空中的飞鸟做食物。”
Ezekiel chapter 29 verse 4 says, "I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your streams stick to your scales. And I will draw you up in the midst of your streams with all the fish of your streams that stick to your scales. And I will cast you out into the wilderness, you and all the fish of your streams. You shall fall in the open field and not be brought together or gathered. To the beasts of the earth and to the birds of the heavens, I give you as food."
这里说用钩子钩住你的腮颊，这不是渔夫的工作吗？这不就是钓鱼吗？
It says, "Put hook in your jaws." Isn't this what fishermen do in fishing?
很明显的，这些经文的内涵都是指着末世耶稣最后行审判的时候说的。
Clearly, these scriptures point to the eschatological times when Jesus makes his final judgment.
然而耶稣呼召门徒，要他们成为得人的渔夫，不是为了叫人承受神的审判。
But Jesus called for disciples to make them become fishers of men, not for the purpose for men to face God's judgment.
耶稣呼召门徒作为得人的渔夫，为的是整彻底的扭转人们在基督回来的时候面对审判的这种局面。
Jesus called for disciples to for them to become fishers of men, to reverse the predicament that people will find themselves in when Christ returns to judge.
他, 耶稣用他属天的权柄, 呼召门徒, 成为得人的渔夫, 为的是叫人得救, 逃脱那永远的审判。
Jesus called for disciples to become fishers of men by his divine authority, that men shall be saved and be freed from that eternal judgment.
为了这个缘故, 耶稣呼召了安德烈与西门彼得, 接受基督的托付, 去完成将罪人从即将到来的永恒审判里面 拯救出来的这样一个紧急事工当中。
For this reason, Jesus called Simon and Andrew to the urgent task of rescuing sinners from the impending judgment on behalf of Christ.
Impending, 无庸置疑，这种任务的紧迫性、紧急性，就要求被呼召的人立即做出一个顺服的回应。
Undoubtedly, such urgency demands an immediate obedient response.
他们 就是这两个门徒立刻舍了网跟从了耶稣。
And immediately they, these two disciples, left their nets and followed him.
他们立刻舍了网。
And immediately they left their nets and followed him.
舍下渔网表明了他们回应了基督的权柄与呼召, 愿意彻底的委身跟随耶稣做他的门徒。
Leaving their nets represented their response to the absolute authority and their willingness to make an immediate commitment as disciples of Christ.
并且投身于见证基督的恩典，传扬神的国度近了，罪人彻底悔改，转向神的必要性。
And committing themselves as witnesses to the proclamation of the nearness of the kingdom and the necessity for men to turn to God through radical repentance.
从19到20节, 我们又再一次看到耶稣基督的全能在另外两个门徒身上的体现。
And in verses 19 to 20, we once again see Jesus, the authoritative power of Jesus Christ on another two disciples.
耶稣稍往前走, 又见西比泰的儿子雅各和雅各的弟兄约翰 在船上捕网。
And in verse 19, and going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets.
你还记得我们刚才查考了约翰福音第一章第40节, 那里说听见施洗约翰的话, 跟从耶稣的两个人, 一个是谁啊? 西门的彼得, 西门彼得的兄弟谁啊? 安德烈。
Can you still remember that we have just touched on John chapter 1 verse 40 moments ago, where one of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and followed Jesus, who is he? He is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
那么另外一个是谁呢?
Then who was the other one?
好像没有提到。
His name was not mentioned.
其实另外一个人是谁呢? 就是约翰福音的作者,使徒约翰他本人。
He was actually the human writer of the Gospel of John, the Apostle John himself.
与安德烈、西门一样,耶稣之前实际上就认识了约翰,并且约翰已经认识并接受耶稣就是弥赛亚。
Just like with Andrew and Simon, Jesus knew John prior, about the same time, and John also knew and acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah.
然后我们看到雅各与约翰对于耶稣全能的呼召 也是立刻做出了顺服的回应。
And we see that James and John also made an immediate response to Jesus' authoritative calling.
20节, 耶稣随即呼召他们, 他们就把父亲西比泰和雇工人
And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him.
从马太福音第四章二十一节，我们得知当时这两个儿子是同他们的父亲西比泰一起在船上捕网的。
From Matthew chapter 4 verse 21, we know that these two men, these two sons, were in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending the nets.
因此我们有理由相信雅各和约翰放下一切跟从耶稣是得到他们的父亲西比泰的认可的。
Hence, we have reason to believeThat James, both James and John had the approval of Zebedee their father in laying down everything they had to follow Jesus.
从这件事情，我们可以看出这一整家人，包括西比泰两个儿子，还有父亲西比泰，还有西比泰的妻子叫萨罗米，都是敬虔爱主的一家人。
Through this matter.We can see that this family, which includes Zebedee and his wife Salome, they were godly people.
我们从马太福音二十七章五十六节和马可福音十五章的四十第六十六章的第一节得知，雅各与约翰的母亲名叫萨罗米，他一路跟随耶稣来到十字架下面，亲眼见证了耶稣的受难。
We can also see in Matthew chapter 27 verse 56 and in Mark chapter 15 verse 40 and in Mark chapter 16 verse 1 that the mother of James and John, who is Salome, she also followed Jesus to his crucifixion and she personally witnessed his suffering.
并且在第三天，萨罗米与其他的妇女一起买了香膏，准备去膏耶稣的身体。
And together with other women, she bought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus.
所以我们看到这一家人，西比泰，他的妻子，或者两个孩子的母亲叫萨罗米，还有这两个儿子，这一家人都是非常敬虔爱主顺服的一家人。
We can see that this family, which is Zebedee and his wife Salome, who is the mother of James and John, and their two sons, this family are godly people who love and obey the Lord.
Mark 在这里特别交代了，他们就把父亲西比泰和雇工人留在船上，跟从耶稣去了。
Mark specifically said that they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him.
从有雇工这一点来看，这个家庭在当时是属于富裕的家庭，他们的生意也达到了相当的规模。
Seeing that in having hired servants, this family was probably well off, and this business was also probably well established.
对，叫我们看见了雅各与约翰彻底放下世上的一切跟随耶稣的决心。
This shows us the devotion of James and John that they had towards Jesus in leaving everything that they had in this world to follow him.
在这里这一段圣经里面，我们看到耶稣呼召了两对的兄弟俩。
Here we see Jesus calling two groups of brothers.
假如我们可以从安德烈和西门彼得的身上看到他们回应耶稣的呼召是如何的迅速立刻的回应。
If we can see how Andrew and Peter had responded to Jesus Christ's calling in a prompt and immediate manner,
那么我们从雅各与约翰的身上就可以看到他们回应耶稣基督的呼召是如何的彻底完全的。
Then we can also see how James and John had responded to Jesus Christ's calling in a complete manner.
亲爱的弟兄姐妹，跟随耶稣做门徒是要付上很大代价的。
Dear beloved, following Jesus can be costly.
有时候甚至要切断你家庭的牵连。
And can sometimes involve the severing of family ties.
在这里我要奉劝诸位，你不要以为相信耶稣只是为了得到世界上的一些好处。
But I wish to advise everyone here today. Please do not think that believing in Jesus is just for the sake of some worldly benefit.
如果是那样的话，
If that's the case,
恕我直言，你完全的 信错了。你完全的信错了这位为了成就父神的救赎计划而在十字架上献出生命代价的神的儿子主耶稣基督。
Then please allow me to be honest with you to tell you that you are wrong in the way you believe in this Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life on the cross to fulfill God the Father's redemptive plan.
因为圣经清楚地告诉我们罪的严重性。
Because the Bible tells us explicitly the seriousness of our sin.
耶稣基督降生来到这个世界的目的就是为了除掉人的罪。
The purpose of our Lord Jesus to come incarnate into this world is to take away sins.
完全不是为了在这个堕落的世界里加入一点点所谓的宗教信仰。
And not to add an additional religion into this fallen world.
好叫世人在这个世界上的罪人心安理得的在这个世界上享受最终之乐。
So that the sinners of this world can continue to enjoy their sin blissfully in this world.
一个人如何回应耶稣来跟从我的呼召，这是对门徒是否信靠主的一个考验。
How to respond to the calling of follow me is in itself a test of trust in Jesus for the disciples.
然后我们必须清楚地看见，一个罪人不可能主动地寻找耶稣。
But we need to be clear that a sinner cannot seek Jesus on his own.
请注意，一个罪人，他只能对耶稣的呼召做出相对的回应。
Please be clear. A sinner can only respond to Jesus' calling accordingly.
对此，约翰麦克阿瑟牧师说
，For this, Dr. John MacArthur said.
他说，从这四个门徒对耶稣的回应来看，他们的回应从人的角度上来看，很可能是令人十分的震惊。
He said, based on the response of these four disciples, the response may seem shocking from a human perspective.
但是从神的角度来看，一点也没有什么值得大惊小怪的。
From the divine standpoint, it is not at all surprising.
就如耶稣在约翰福音十五章十六节向门徒解释的，你不是你们拣选的我，是我拣选的你们，并且分派你们去结果子，叫你们的果子长存。使你们奉我的名无论向父求什么他就赐给你们。
As Jesus explained to his disciples in John chapter 15 verse 16, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
很显然是耶稣的全能引导着他所呼召的门徒们来跟从他。
Clearly, the scope of Jesus' authority encompassed the disciples whom he called to follow him.
也就是透过这些获得重生、生命改变的罪人去宣扬耶稣基督救赎的福音。
It was through these regenerated and transformed sinners and their proclamation of the gospel
以至于神的国度不断得到扩展的目的得到了应验。
That the purposes of advancing his kingdom has been fulfilled.
亲爱的基督徒弟兄姐妹，今天我们得蒙主耶稣基督的呼召，也带着同样的托付与使命。
Dear brothers and sisters, today we have received the Lord Jesus Christ's calling, and he also brings us a similar entrustment and mission.
请允许我再次重复。
Allow me to repeat this.
假如我们可以从安德烈和西门彼得的身上看到他们对耶稣基督的回应的呼召，他们的回应是如何迅速立刻的话。
If we can see how Andrew and Peter had responded to Jesus Christ's calling in a prompt and immediate manner,
那么我们也可以从雅各和约翰的身上看见他们回应耶稣基督的呼召是如何的彻底完全的。
Then we can also see how James and John had responded to Jesus Christ's calling in a complete manner.
这个世界上有许多人在寻找生命的意义。
There are many in the world seeking the meaning of life.
却很少人准备好立刻跟从耶稣。
But few were actually ready to follow Christ immediately.
更少人愿意放弃他们的成功事业、家人、财产等等的代价来跟从耶稣。
Even fewer will pay the cost of giving up their successful businesses, families, and possessions, etc. to follow Jesus.
然后我们看到这些人，这几个门徒不仅愿意跟从耶稣，同时他们也真正地回应了耶稣全能的呼召，跟随了他。
But these men were willing to follow Jesus, and they did respond to his authoritative calling and follow him.
今天这位生命的主宰透过圣灵的工作，仍旧向你发出呼召。
Today he still extends his call to you.
这位生命的主宰仍旧透过圣灵的工作向你发出呼召。
Today, through the work of the Holy Spirit, this Lord of Life still extends his call to you.
这个呼召就是悔改的呼召。
This call is a call to repentance.
我希望你确实看到了自己悔改的需要而真正悔改。
I hope that you have truly repented based on your understanding of your need to repent.
这个呼召就是信靠主的、信靠神的呼召。我希望你已经真正将自己交托给了他。
It is a call to believe in God. I hope you have truly entrusted yourself to Him.
这个呼召就是跟随他的呼召。
It is a call to follow Him.
你是否已经委身跟随了他呢？
Have you already made this commitment to follow him? Let us pray together.
主啊，你的话，你圣经里面的话是何等的宝贵。因为你将你的心意，你的目的都放到了圣经宝贵的话语当中。今天当我们一同来查考主耶稣基督你呼召这些门徒四个门徒的记载当中，对我们也是一个非常大的一个挑战。因为耶稣今天仍旧带着权柄，而这个权柄是从死里复活永恒国度君王的权柄，那今天照样的来呼召我们。盼望在座的每一个都看到了自己的光景，看到了悔改的需要，而真正的在耶稣基督的面前悔改。这个呼召就是信靠神，信靠我们主耶稣基督的呼召。主啊，求你帮助我们，圣灵在我们每个人的心中动工，让我们真正的愿意放下自己，放下世上的一切，我们切断与这些事情的牵连。尽管我们还在世界上生活，我们还要生活，我们还有家庭，但是让我们不受这些事情的拖累，让我们将自己完全的交托信靠这位信实的主。这个主耶稣基督的呼召就是跟随他的呼召。主啊，让我们都愿意委身来跟随你。主，我们将在座的每一个弟兄姐妹恭敬的交托在你的手中，因为你是生命的主宰。离开了你，我们所做的一切都是枉然，都是捕风，都是这世界上的事，唯有遵行你话语的才能够存到永远。因此主，我们将这个教会里面每一位弟兄姐妹，特别是今天来到你面前的，都恭敬地带到你的面前来。愿主你照着你自己的旨意呼召我们，引导我们，引导我们走生命的道路。奉耶稣基督的名祷告，阿们，
阿们。